My beloved brethren and sisters, humbly and gratefully, I stand before you today. I thank the Lord for the eternal principle of freedom, free agency, the right of choice. I cherish patriotism and love of country in all lands. This morning, I speak about the Constitution of the United States, that glorious standard raised up by the Founding Fathers. I want to pay tribute to those who laid the foundation of our Republic. I desire to bear testimony concerning one of the most vital principles that makes the work of the Founders timeless and inspired. Every Latter-day Saint should love the inspired Constitution of the United States, a nation with a spiritual foundation and a prophetic history, which nation the Lord has declared to be his base of operations in these latter days. The framers of the Constitution were men raised up by God to establish this foundation of our government. For so the Lord has declared by revelation in these words, quote, I established the constitution of this land by the hands of wise men whom I raised up unto this very purpose and redeemed the land by the shedding of blood, unquote. Yes, this is a land fertilized by the blood of patriots. During the struggle for independence, nearly 9,000 of the colonists' forces were killed. Among those 56 patriots who had pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor by signing the Declaration of Independence, at least 9 paid that price with their life's blood. At the close of the Revolution, the 16 states found themselves independent, but then faced grave internal economic and political problems. The Articles of Confederation had been adopted, but proved to be ineffectual. Under this instrument, the nation was without a president, a head. There was a Congress, but it was a body destitute of any power. There was no Supreme Court. The states were merely a confederation. Washington wrote of the defect of this loose federation in these words, quote, the fabric which took 9 years at the expense of much blood and treasure to rear now totters to the foundation, and without support must soon fall, unquote. Because of this crisis, 55 of the 74 appointed delegates reported to the convention, representing every state except Rhode Island, for the purpose of forming a more perfect union. 39 finally signed the Constitution. Who were these delegates? Those whom the Lord designated wise men, whom he raised up. They were mostly young men in the prime of life, their average age being 44. Benjamin Franklin was the eldest at 81. George Washington, the presiding officer of the convention, was 55. Alexander Hamilton was only 32. James Madison, who recorded the proceedings of the convention with his remarkable notes, was only 36. These were young men, but men of exceptional character. Sober, seasoned, distinguished men of affairs, drawn from various walks of life. Of the 39 signers, 21 of them were college educated in the leading American colleges and in Great Britain. 18 were or had been lawyers or judges. 26 had seen service in the Continental Congress. 19 had served in the Revolutionary Army, 17 as officers. 4 had been on Washington's personal staff during the war. Among that assembly of the 39 signers were later to be found 2 presidents of the United States, one the father of his country, a vice president of the United States, a secretary of treasury, a secretary of war, a secretary of state, 2 chief justices of the Supreme Court, and 3 who served as justices, and the venerable Franklin, a diplomat, philosopher, scientist, and statesman. They were not backwoodsmen. from the far-off frontiers. Not one of them. There has not been another group of men in all the 200 years of our history that ever challenged the supremacy of this group. President Wilford Woodruff said, quote, "They were the best spirits the God of heaven could find on the face of the earth. They were choice spirits," unquote. Following the drafting of the Constitution, it awaited ratification by the states. In 1787, three states ratified the Constitution. In the next year, eight more followed, and on April 6th, 1787, 187 years ago today, the Constitution of the United States went into operation as the basic law of the United States when the Electoral College unanimously elected George Washington as the first president of the nation. This date, I believe, was not accidental. In the final analysis, what the framers did under the inspiration of God was to draft a document that merited the approval of God himself, who declared it, quote, "to be maintained for the rights and protection of all flesh," unquote. The document has been criticized by some as outmoded, and even a recent president of the United States criticized it as a document, quote, "written for an entirely different period in our nation's history," unquote. The eminent constitutional authority, President J. Reuben Clark, has answered this argument in these words, quote, "These were the horse and buggy days, as they have been called in derision. These were the men who traveled in horse-drawn buggies and on horseback. But these are the men who carried under their hats, as they rode in their buggies and on their horses, a political wisdom garnered from the ages," unquote. What those framers did can better be appreciated when it is considered that when the instrument went into operation, it covered only 13 states with fewer than 4 million people. Today, it adequately covers 50 states and over 200 million people. The wisdom of these delegates is shown in the genius of the document itself. The founders had a strong distrust for centralized power in the federal government. So they created a government with checks and balances. It was to prevent any branch of the government from becoming too powerful. Congress could pass laws, but the president could check this with a veto. Congress, however, could override the veto, and by its means of initiative in taxation, could further restrain the executive department. The Supreme Court could nullify laws passed by the Congress and signed by the president, but Congress could limit the court's appellate jurisdiction. The president could appoint judges for their lifetime with the consent of the Senate. Each branch of the government was also made subject to different political pressures. The president was to be chosen by electors, senators by state legislatures, representatives by the people, and the Supreme Court by the president with the consent of the Senate. All this was deliberately designed to make it difficult for a majority of the people to control the government and to place restraint on the government itself. The founders created a republic, which Jefferson described as, quote, "action by the citizens in person, in affairs within their reach and competence, and in all others by representatives." A study of the basic principles which undergird the document would be profitable for all Americans during this bicentennial year. When James Russell Lowell was asked, "How long will the American Republic endure?" he replied, "As long as the ideas of the men who founded it continue dominant," unquote. May I comment on one of the most vital ideas and principles? Constitutional government, as designed by the framers, will survive only with a righteous people. Our Constitution, said John Adams, second president, was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. America, North and South, is a choice land, a land reserved for God's own purposes. This land and its inhabitants are under an everlasting decree. The Lord revealed this decree to the brother of Jared, an American prophet, in these solemn words, quote, "And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God or shall be swept off. For it is an everlasting decree of God. Behold, this is a choice land. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ." The Lord has also decreed that this land should be the place of the New Jerusalem, which should come down out of heaven, the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Here is our nation's destiny: to serve God's eternal purposes and to prepare this land and people for America's eventual destiny, the Lord established the Constitution of this land by the hands of wise men whom he raised up to this very purpose. Many Americans have lost sight of the truth that righteousness is the one indispensable ingredient to liberty. Perhaps as never before in our history is our nation collectively deserving of the indictment pronounced by Abraham Lincoln in these words, quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Unquote. Unless we as citizens of this nation forsake our sins, political and otherwise, and return to the fundamental principles of Christianity and of constitutional government, we will lose our political liberties, our free institutions, and will stand in jeopardy before God of losing our exaltation. I am in full agreement with a statement made by President J. Reuben Clark, quote, "I say to you that the price of liberty is and always has been blood, human blood. And if our liberties are lost, we shall never regain them except at the price of blood. They must not be lost." Unquote. Yes, I repeat, righteousness is an indispensable ingredient to liberty. Virtuous people elect wise and good representatives. Good representatives make good laws and then wisely administer them. This tends to preserve righteousness. An unvirtuous citizenry tends to elect representatives who will pander to their covetous lustings. The burden of self-government is a great responsibility. It calls for restraint, righteousness, responsibility, and reliance upon God. It is a truism from the Lord that, quote, when the wicked rule, the people mourn, unquote. As presiding officer of the Constitutional Convention, George Washington appealed to the delegates in these words, quote, let us raise a standard to which the wise and the honest can repair, unquote. Wise and honorable men raised that glorious standard for this nation. It will also take wise and honorable men to perpetuate what was so nobly established. A citizen of this republic cannot do his duty and be an idle spectator. How appropriate and vital it is, at the time of our nation's 200th birthday, to remember this counsel from the Lord, quote, honest and wise men should be sought for diligently, and good men and wise men ye should observe and uphold, unquote. Goodness, wisdom, and honesty are the three qualities of statesmanship, qualities this country needs more than ever before. May we be wise, prayerfully wise, in the electing of those who would lead us. May we select only those who understand and will adhere to constitutional principles. To do so, we need to understand these principles ourselves. In 1973, the First Presidency of the Church made public this statement, quote, we urge members of the Church and all Americans to begin now to reflect more intently on the meaning and importance of the Constitution and of adherence to its principles, unquote. May I urge every Latter-day Saint and all Americans in North and South America to become familiar with every part of this document. Many of the constitutions in South America have been patterned in large measure after the one of the United States. We should understand the Constitution as the founders meant for it to be understood by reading their words about it, such as contained in the Federalist Papers. Such understanding is essential if we are to preserve what God has given us. I reverence the Constitution of the United States as a sacred document. To me, its words are akin to the revelations of God. For God has placed his stamp of approval on the Constitution of this land. I testify that the God of heaven selected and sent some of his choicest spirits to lay the foundation of this government as a prologue to the restoration of the gospel and the second coming of our Savior. May God bless us to protect this sacred instrument. In the words of the prophet Joseph Smith, quote, may those principles which were so honorably and nobly defended, namely the Constitution of the land by our fathers, be established forever, unquote. And for this I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.